and just be able to relax and hear God. And this little phrase, "Bless the Lord, my soul," is a way to do that, a way to empty ourselves of everything else and allow God to speak through us and to us. I'm going to read a scripture and talk about it a bit, and we're going to play with some different ways of different ideas about prayer. But this was one. And it's something you can do. It's easy. Even I can sing it when the microphone's not on. You can get a YouTube of it. You can do something. But it allows it. It gives you a way to prepare, to have a real conversation with God, to hear what God says. The scripture I'm going to read this morning is from the first chapter of Acts, beginning in verse 6 and reading through verse 14. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Some of the passages in that last verse say they were constantly devoted to prayer. It's frequently hard to get ourselves into a frame of mind when we can pray. Things are seldom quiet. Some of us, probably, and I'm one of them, if it gets too quiet, I can't concentrate anyway. I need a little bit of background music in order to... I don't want it loud, and I don't want it clashing, but that "bless the Lord" works. It just blocks everything else in the world out. And I commend to you to try that. If it's not part of your daily devotional practice, to try it for a while and see if it doesn't allow you to get all of those issues and problems and struggles and even the joys out, and so that just you and God can have a conversation, that you can be devoted to prayer. As I thought about it, all of the prayer we do Sunday morning, for the most part, is us talking to God. Have you noticed that? We give God joy, our joys and our concerns. We praise God. We thank God for what he's given us. All of these things that we do are us speaking to God. And seldom do we take a whole lot of time to listen to what God might have to say back. And I would like to suggest to you this morning that prayer is a dialogue. It's a conversation. Not only do we speak to God, but God speaks to us. And I think that's one of the things that sometimes we've lost in our sense of, certainly in public worship. I know when there's a clock around that has a second hand on it that I can see, if I do something that has silent prayer as a part of it, I can go about 30 seconds and you all start getting antsy. It's not something we're used to. a time of silence when we can each hear God. We're going to try it a little later with one of my favorite background music things, but so I'll prepare you. You're going to have to listen to God today instead of just me. As a matter of fact, I think probably you listen to God every week instead of me. At least that's my hope. Because God typically has way better things to say to us than I can think of. One of the things that happens as we come together is that we bring our issues, our problems, the crises of our day with us. And this does become a place, a refuge, a sanctuary, where we can allow those things to go away, to be taken on by the Christ that we worship. Now, real life is still going to be around. I'm not going to try and say that everything will be absolutely perfect as we want it as we walk out of this place. But I am going to say that we can walk out of this place of worship, of refuge, this place of sanctuary, with a deeper feeling of God walking with us. It turns out that worship is not always just about us. Prayer is not just about us. My younger daughter, and some of you have met her, and if you've met her, you know which one I'm talking about, had a sign when she lived for a year at the farm by herself. She had a sign. It was aluminum, and it was script letters. It was about this long and about this high, and when you walked into the living room, it was the only thing you saw. And it said, "It's all about me." It was a joke. She knew better. She knows better. But it is a way that resonated with her in many respects. But it's not all about us. As a matter of fact, in many respects, it's not about us at all. It's about God. It's about God's love for all of God's creation. It's about God's desire to bring each one of us closer to Him. Not that God wants us necessarily to be more pious, but God wants us to be more closely connected with Him. That's a challenge. And I probably won't remember all of it exactly, but a couple of my friends from Waverly keep me on their mass email list that they send cute little things from the internet around. And I got one of those today, and it was a takeoff on the Footprints in the Sand poem. And it was kind of interesting. It went through the kind of normal things and went through even some that I have seen cartoons about, where sometimes you've got these two sets of footprints kind of walking in parallel. God walks with us, we know that. And every once in a while, the smaller set of footprints, ours, it kind of is erratic. It's kind of like every once in a while we got to get dragged along. Sometimes we're kind of running ahead or running behind, or we're just not quite with the cadence of God. And isn't that how our lives go? Sometimes we're just a bit out of step. We're a little erratic. We come and we go. There are good days and there are bad days. We know that. And then in this particular example of it, there's only one set of footprints, but within that set of God's footprints, there's a smaller set. And as we grow in our faith, this interpretation of the poem goes, we begin to walk in Christ's footsteps. And over time, those footsteps, ours, within His, become larger and filled to the point where we are one with God, one with Christ. And if they had quit there, I'd have been pretty happy. I thought that's a nice way to continue to think about that particular poem. But it goes on and it says, and then after that, for a while, everything is erratic again. The footsteps are all over the place. And I will admit, I was kind of sucked in by that point. And I said, well, what does that mean? How can that be good? Do we all regress that much? Do we go back to that erratic time when we're trying to catch a hold of what God is about? And the voice comes and it says, no. It says, that's when we're dancing together. We get to the point where we can be at one with God. And in the sense of those footprints, we get to the point where we can share our innermost thoughts with God, and we can hear God's most innermost thoughts for us. It's a different kind of prayer. It's a prayer where we do more listening than speaking. It's a prayer. Some of us would use the word meditation for that, or meditate. It's when we think. But more than us thinking, it's when we allow God to think with us and to speak to us. And just, it's going to be a little longer than 30 seconds, but just for a moment, I want you to maybe think through, while I'm finishing the introduction to this, think through the bless the Lord phrase again, and allow your mind to clear to the point that you can hear what God has to say for you, to you. And there'll be some music that will come on. And allow that music to drown out everything except you and what God is saying to you. And in this time of prayer, together and individually at the same time, let us hear what God has to say to us. I would ask that you continue to be in prayer, to allow what I keep saying to be the mood music that allows you to hear what God says to you. At some point, I'll say amen fairly loudly, and then you can listen to me again. God speaks to us and comforts our fears and challenges us. Some of you may be hearing God tell you to take new directions in your life. Some of you may be hearing God's hand on your shoulder, letting you know that you are not alone. Some of you may be hearing God for the first time. Some of us here will be knowing God in a new and a wonderful way because we're listening. Some of you may actually be hearing a voice, and it may be a baritone tenor voice, it may be a soprano voice. Some of you may just be getting an image, a feeling, a sensation. Some of you may see a picture, a whole video experience. Whatever God is communicating to us, God is doing in ways that we can catch, we can gather. We can be a part of. Whether you're seeing or hearing or feeling or maybe just knowing, God is speaking to each one of us. Hear the word of God. Amen. I've got about four ways I'm going from here, and I don't know which one I'm using yet. Give me a minute. There is another aspect, I think, to prayer. And it's, again, one maybe that we don't think consciously of enough, but is a part not only of our listening to God, but allowing God to encourage us to do what it is that we have just heard, that we have just experienced. Prayer is not only the conversation we have with God, it is what we do afterwards. I don't think that Luke, in writing about this experience of the apostles, was talking about them sitting in worship experience 24/7. They were out and around. They went back into the temple. They fed people. They healed the sick. They preached the gospel. They did all the things that are described in the book of Acts in subsequent chapters. That's prayer. We don't do these things on our own. Canning meat and bagging potatoes and selling third world goods is prayer. Standing up for people's human dignity is prayer. Seeking ways to move beyond violence in this world is prayer. Goodness knows we've tried everything else. I was intrigued recently. It was last week, I think, last week or the week before, when Pope Francis was in the Middle East, and he came back and, on while still there, invited both Palestinian and Israeli leaders to come to the Vatican. Not to negotiate, not to argue, not to stake out their territory, but to pray together. Now, I don't know whether that will have any better political result than anything else we've tried, but God knows it can't have a worse one. The opportunity to pray together, to have that experience of God speaking to us in a way we can hear, that we can know, that we can understand. It'll be fascinating to see what can happen when we actually try that. When we actually get past what we normally call praying for peace. And we act for peace, because that's the prayer. The prayer isn't what we say to ourselves and to each other here. It's what we do afterwards. This is a congregation that does that well. There's a part of me that feels like I'm preaching to the choir this morning. And goodness knows you make a good choir. But it's an encouragement to move beyond our normal way of describing and thinking about things, to move beyond thinking that by bringing God's attention to something that God is already very familiar with, we have done what we need to do. Those joys and concerns that we pray about, and I recommend you keep doing it. I'm not going to suggest you don't. I think it's wonderful. But two things need to happen besides just what we do Sunday morning. One, we encourage you to every week. Continue to do that. Continue to hold those people and situations in your prayers. But hold them in your prayers in one of those times of dialogue when you can hear what God tells you you can do about it. The example you're experiencing this week is that some of you are going to be preparing meals for Naomi for lunch. That's prayer. That's not only trying to remind God of something God is already very familiar with. God is walking with Naomi in her struggle for healing. But it is saying, God, I catch on. There's something I can do. Prayer was given our family a safe haven when my mother died, and others in the congregation, as you have nurtured them in times of grief, in times of illness, in other kinds of struggles in their lives, as we've come together and we've nurtured one another, that's prayer. That's what it's about. These prayers that we do in worship are not so much to keep God on the ball as they are to remind us of the opportunities as the people of Christ that we have every day, all day. The disciples continually devoted themselves to prayer and to teaching and to healing as expressions of prayer. And as they grew, they got more folks involved. They called the new ones deacons. And the expression of prayer that they had was to feed people and to provide for some healing. And the first thing you know, the deacons are out preaching. Prayer, when we hear God guide us, doesn't allow us to just sit quietly. What prayer does, when we hear God guide us, is prayer encourages us, gives us energy, gives us the confidence to bring that word in whatever form to the folks around us. Prayer is an opportunity for healing. Not only those we pray for, but ourselves. One of the things that I frequently need to be healed from is my inherent sense of cynicism about the rest of the world. And when I can sit for half an hour sometimes with that particular piece of music we used today on a loop, at the end of the experience, I'm not near as cynical. Life has changed around me because I've heard what God has told me I can do and what God has encouraged me to do. For some of you, it won't be a piece of music that helps you get in that frame of reference where you can hear God. For some of you, it will be silence. For others, it will be a particular favorite verse of Scripture or a prayer. There will be something that allows you to hear God in new and wonderful ways. Search for that something in your life. And then use it. And recognize that when times are particularly stressful, that's the time to use it even more. I think this is a quote from Martin Luther, and it's probably misquoted, and it may not have been him, but I'm thinking it is, so that's who I'm going to give credit for. He said, when I get up in the morning, I pray for about an hour, unless it's going to be a really hectic day, and then I pray for 2 hours. And when I first heard that, I said, well, that's stupid. If it's already hectic, you can't waste another hour praying. Until I'd actually tried it once. And it works. The things that drive us crazy every day, we can overcome if we allow ourselves to listen to God. If we allow ourselves to respond to God. If we allow ourselves to see that those things that drive us crazy are things that with God's help, we can overcome. We are no different than these early apostles. We gather, give praise and thanksgiving and worship to God, which is appropriate and right. And we hear God speaking and leading us. So that indeed, as we do what we do in our lives, we can be continually in prayer, devoted to prayer, speaking to God, hearing God, doing what God leads us to do. Amen.